remind us of one or two things that we took away from last week? Anyone who was here last week? And the normal thing is that nobody will speak until I threaten to begin to call names. Then, okay, Fumito.
A Christian is only as strong as how much they pray, and prayer is your communication with God. It's sorry. Prayer is you building, it's a way of you building your relationship with God. Because if you okay, let's say I met Ibrahim and like I met him once, we had a conversation once. Then we see in church every Sunday, does it. If I need like somewhere to stay, I know Ibrahim, I can ask him for something, but like it's like we don't know each other that much for us to like be staying over at each other's places like that. But like if we talk like, oh, at least every 2 days, okay, then we've built a relationship. So that's just how it is with God. You go to him, you pray. Praying is you building your relationship with him. So the more you pray, the deeper and more intimate your relationship with God
Very
is.
true. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Statoto, were you here last week? Sorry? Online. Okay, you want to say something? All right.
We talked about agonizing rather than organizing.
Yes.
We talked about withstanding the devil and fleeing. The place where we need to stand, we stand. And place where we need to flee, we flee. When we don't swap it around and
Okay.
flee the devil and stand temptation.
Okay. The Bible tells us to resist the devil, and the devil will do what? Will flee from us. The Bible also tells us when we see temptation, what do? We flee, swap it around. We don't flee from the devil as we Africans normally do. If you hear juju or anything, you begin to run. And then when you see temptation, you think I'm strong, I can face temptation. No. What the Bible says is that we flee temptation and we resist and stand before the devil. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Anybody else? One more person? Brother Ken. Very true. Prayer also tells us how spiritually conscious we are. Remember the analogy we also used of a fish. Once you take a fish out of water, what happens? It dies. It should be the same for a Christian because prayer is the breath of our life as Christians. When, that thing we say to the children say, a prayer, what happened though? You're listening? All right. Rakuli has come again. Excuse me, a prayerless Christian is a what? And it is very true. It is very true. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. The only power we have to stand in everything of the world, whether it's to face the devil, whether it's to face those who are considered us are their enemies. Whether it's to face the vicissitudes of life, the difficulties of life, we need the power of God. There are many people who use their own power, but very soon they burn out. They burn out. But we know that we need the power of God. There are times when we just need God to be there with us. We can't do anything. And no matter how rich, how powerful, there comes times in life where you will be at a place that what you have in life cannot solve your problem. You just need God to be there to see you through that season of life. And that is what we have as Christians in prayer. And like we said, the more intimate we are with God, and that is where we develop that intimacy, when we seek for Him, when we long for him, when we pray to him. And remember that we said that to those who are outside, prayer is foolishness. But to us, it's our wealth. It's a privilege that has been given by God that not too many of us take advantage of it. It's as if we've been given a canon. You know what a canon is? How many of us know what a canon is? You know, some of you may not know. You know, in the olden days, that is what the British fought with. They put a big ball inside the canon and they'll put gunpowder and boom. That is how it is, like a bomb. You know, God has given us a canon with which to face life, with which to face difficulties. And we are taking a broomstick. We want to use a broomstick to face difficulties. That is how our power is even less than a broomstick. But God has given us the privilege of prayer. May it not be when we get to heaven and we now see what we could have done in prayer and we now say, ah, had I known God, had I known. It's a privilege that we must take more advantage of. We also said something that many people do not pray. One, because they don't know how to pray. And frankly, that is how all of us started. Frankly, that is how the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ started. That is why they will come to him and say, Master, please teach us to pray. And you remember what we said about prayer 101. If you are going to teach somebody something, if I'm going to teach my daughter math, where do I start? Do I start from calculus? I don't start from calculus. Basics. And the most basic prayer you can pray is the Lord's Prayer. So if you say you don't know how to pray at all, just open to Matthew chapter 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, learn it. That is the most basic prayer you can pray. And as you develop in prayer, like Paul, you can say that when I remember you in my prayers, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirits of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is God becoming more advanced. Because you have dealt with God in secret place, you can begin to know even more deeper things that God wants for his people. When I, in the position that God has given me by his grace to be a pastor, I cannot be praying every day, Lord, please give these people bread and water and what else are the things we need in life? Car, job, clothes. Yeah, mommy's nudging you. Right? What else? A ring and jewelry, right? We cannot be praying that day in, day out. Because, you know, those things, they will be given, they fade, they rust, they decay. My father used to tell me that, my son, you can have as many clothes as I have, but you cannot have as many rags as I have. Everything in life, someday, sometime, it will become rags. Brother Peter's mansion, if he wills it to his children, they will not take it. Because by the time they grow old, Brother Peter's mansion will be outdated. You know, it happens. You know, there used to be a time we don't paint walls with paint. What do they put? They put those wallpaper. Thank you. If you see a house with wallpaper now, what would you think? It's dated. Would you want to live there? No, because it's old. We want more modern things. What we have today as modern, in the by the time Mayo is 30, you'll, probably, your house is old. Right? Yeah, that's life. So, material things, they are given to us to use. They cannot become the everything of our lives. But there are some things in God which it lasts forever. Those are the things we need to pursue. Yes, God will give us. It's not that we don't pray for them. There's a line in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a valid prayer. And God will give us. He said that the things that the Gentiles seek after, he knows that we have need of them also. And he will give those things to us. Now, for a few minutes, I just want to focus today still on the topic of the things that make prayer like breathing, that when you hold your breath, you know, you pant for air. We've talked about we don't pray because we don't know how to pray. Also, we don't pray because we are not hungry. You cannot force a person to be hungry. But when a person is hungry, there's nothing you can do to stop them from eating. Many people don't pray because they are not hungry. There was something I was reading, you know. I don't often quote secular authors, but there was some, let me read this to us, which I read, which it's, for me, it made a lot of sense when you look at, and the Bible also talks about it in a way. Okay. Now, this was written about Socrates. Socrates lived, I think, in the year 399, 400s. Which century? That'll be in the 5th century, right? 19-something is 20th century. Yo, so that'll be the 5th century. So Socrates lived in the 5th century. A proud young man came to Socrates asking for wisdom. He walked up to him and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I came to you for wisdom." I don't know. Sorry. You all right? Oh, it cut him. Please, so be careful. Okay. Now, honestly, I don't know if this is a true story. But I've seen it. It's a true story. Oh, I thought while it was. So I thought, you know, but it made a point for me. So just so that you don't quote what Abumi said, Socrates did this. So it's recorded. All right. So I've quoted. I do not know if it's a true story, but I have read it in from multiple sources. I come to you for wisdom. Socrates, recognizing a pompous fool when he saw one, led him down to the sea and took him chest deep into water. Then he asked him, "What did you say you wanted?" "Wisdom, oh great Socrates," said the young man. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates let him up. "What did you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates." Socrates pushed him down again into the water. 30 seconds, 35, 40. Then Socrates let him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy breaths, the fellow wheezed. "Wisdom, oh, wise and wonderful Socrates." Jammed him under again. 40 seconds passed, then 50. Then he leapt him up. "What do you want?" "Air." The young man yelled, "I need air." "When you want wisdom as much as you have just wanted air, then you will begin to find wisdom." How important is wisdom to life? Wisdom is as important to life as air is to a drowning man. When we come to God, and you remember I said that many times when we pray, well, I can't speak for everybody, but sometimes I know that when we pray, as we leave the place of prayer, we've forgotten what we came to pray about. If somebody were to ask us the next day or 2 days after, "What did you pray about when you came to prayer meeting?" Not many people can list the things they came to God for. And this is why I said there's no hunger. Because when you are hungry for something, you can never forget what you are hungry for. When you desire something so much, you cannot say, "Oh, well, I don't remember what I desired." So people come to the place of prayer and we say prayers rather than pray. And there's a difference. There's a difference. When you say prayers, it is easy to forget what you have prayed about. Now, there was some time ago that I read about, I don't know if these were Tibetan monks, or there was a particular in Asia, there's this particular people, they have this big statue that they come to pray to. And the way they pray to that statue and they believe is that they write their prayers on pieces of paper, fold it inside mud, and throw that piece of paper on that statue. They believe that if that mud, if it sticks to the piece of paper, then their prayers have been answered. And many pre-Christians, we approach God that way. We say prayers, throw it at God, thinking, well, maybe God will answer, maybe he won't answer. But we cannot come to God and say prayers and expect the prayers we have said to be answered. If you come to God and you do not have a burden, you do not have a hunger for something within your heart, it is very unlikely that God will himself will take you seriously. Prayer, like I said, is the greatest privilege God has given to a Christian. Prayer is the only way we as Christians can affect the world, those outside us, the world around us. That is the only privilege that God has given us to affect anything outside of ourselves, even to affect ourselves. So when we don't pray, we lack something. And many times we don't pray, like I've said, because we don't know how. But when we know how, many times we pray and we say prayers, we're not hungry. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching those around him, those who came to him, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's open to the book of Mark chapter 10, and this is where I'll take my text from today. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read the story of a man called blind Bartimaeus. And I'm reading this story to show us the posture of answered prayer. Posture of answered prayer. And the background is that the Lord Jesus Christ had been with his disciples. They had been going around and they came to this place of Jericho, this town called Jericho, and they were about to leave Jericho. They were on their way out of Jericho. And from verse 46, please. Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. Are we all there? And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, I think Bar is son of Timaeus. So when you say Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him. So many people were telling him, be quiet, hold your peace. But what did he do? He cried even more, a great deal. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What do you want of me? What will you have me do? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. How many things did he ask of Jesus? One thing. That was the only thing he sought for. One thing have I desired, and that thing will I seek after. One thing. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I do for you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Some other versions of the Bible, they said, followed Jesus down the road. There was one thing that this man wanted. And all that he sought for, he heard that this man, Jesus, okay, he's in town. That is all he heard. He's coming around. He's blind. Does he know what distance Jesus is? No, he doesn't. And so because he doesn't know what distance Jesus is, he will do whatever he can do to attract the attention of Jesus. And the only thing, yes, he's blind, he can't see. But can he talk? He can talk. So whatever he has to get to the attention of Jesus, that will he do. And that is what blind Bartimaeus did. He began to scream. He began to shout, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. What did people around him say? Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. You know how they would tell some women, you are too ambitious. You can't do it. Stay low. Be quiet. And this man, instead of being quiet, he shouted louder. Because he was hungry for one thing. And that thing he had been seeking. And nobody will deny him of it. And I have seen pattern after pattern in the word of God. Those who are hungry for something, they will, anything within their power, they will do it to get to what they want. And it's the same thing in the world, my brothers and sisters. People who want success, they will stay up at night. They will do whatever it takes to get success. And many do get it. So it is, there's something that God has put within man that whatever you desire, if you go all your way, if you go all out for it, you will get it. But the question is that with God, what do you desire? What do you seek? Because what question did Jesus first ask him when he came? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? When we come to the place of prayer, the question is always for us also. If you are hungry, what are you hungry for? What do you want? Because the hunger is the first thing. Like I said, many don't pray because they're not hungry. And those who are hungry and pray, what do you want? In the book of James, it tells us that we have because we ask not. And for many who ask, what they're asking for is to consume what they're asking for upon their lusts. What that means is that what you are asking for is only motivated by self. It's only motivated by self. Now, if pride is the garment of a person and they are going to ask God for something, maybe they don't have a ride, they don't have a car, you know, they don't have a bicycle. What do you think is the first thing they'll ask for? They're going to ask for a car. It will be a car that will make them show off before everybody that has that has messed them, you know. May God help us from self, because self is a powerful thing. I know, because as a pastor, self is also there. We as pastors, we have to pray to God to help us kill flesh and self within us. Because sometimes when we are praying, God, let there be a revival in this place. You know, sometimes we secretly desire, and let me be the person who had the revival. It's deep down, my brothers and sisters, it's in all of us. And except Christ roots it out, our prayer will be messed up by that self and secret and selfish desire within each and every one of us to consume upon our lusts. Now, if you've gotten to the place where God has helped you deal with the what do you want? It not to be for me. You know, there are two things that God is more concerned about than any other thing on this earth. One, that the world might see his glory and know his glory. That is why we pray for the lost to be saved. That his glory might be made manifest upon the earth. Two, that the church might be cleansed. The bride of Christ might be prepared to meet his groom, to meet her groom. So when we pray, if you look at the prayers of Paul, Paul was also always praying about the church. About the church, that they might be clean, that they might know God's love for them, so that in turn they might also be able to love God, that they might know the hope for which God has saved them, so that they might long for eternity. The glory of the God and the cleansing of the church, God is very concerned about. I'm not saying God is not concerned about our bread and butter also. He is. But we cannot forever be asking for bread and butter. God wants to take us to deeper things. We might start with bread and butter. When he started with the crowd that came to him, what did he start with? He started with bread and fish. But he never ends with bread and fish, because some, it's only bread and fish they come for. They will get it and they will do what? They will go. Some others will stay for more than bread and fish. There was something I was reading about, you know, in the Bible, about when Joshua, you know that Joshua was like the disciple of Moses. Joshua was like the disciple of Moses. So there was a place when the Bible says that Moses went before God in the mountain, right? And when the people saw Joshua went with Moses at the time that Moses was going to get the Ten Commandments. So when they got into the mountain, he told Joshua, you stay here. I am going to go higher. Okay? And Moses went higher. For how long was Moses in the mountain? Those who remember. 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Where was Joshua? For how long was Joshua there? 40 days and 40 nights. He did not leave because there was something that Joshua was seeking for. There was another time when Moses went into the tabernacle and Joshua went with him. And the Bible says that as Moses, he left the tabernacle, Joshua stayed there. He stayed there. So when we come before God, we might come seeking bread and fish. But after we have received bread and fish, do we go? Or do we now stay for the deeper things of God, the things that matter to him? You know, the things that bread and fish are the things that matter to who? Us. Thank you. Those are the things that matter to us. After we have been satisfied with the things that matter to us, do we go? Or do we stay to engage God in the things that matter to him? God will meet our basic needs. But the power of God is truly poured out on those who want to know, God, what are your needs? What do you want? You know, Jesus Christ asked that blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Brothers and sisters, there's a place and privilege that God has given us to come to him and say, Father, What do you want? Not many of us get there. Not many of us get there. And what I'm urging us today, brothers and sisters, is to come to that place that we go beyond, Father, I want, I want, I want, to Lord, what do you want? Now, there was a time, you know, everybody knows because of Brother Debo where I was born, right? In the northern part of where I was born, there was a revival. And when I say revival, I'm not saying there was a revival service. There's a difference between what we call revival service and revival. And I don't think anybody of our generation has ever experienced a revival. A revival is where God himself touches earth. And maybe we'll have time to go over some things that happened. But what happened? And this was called the Scottish Hebrides. What happened before the Hebridean revival was that there were these two women. And let me read the story for you, if you'll just give me a little bit of time. We won't go into it because there are great details about what happened. Maybe next week, if we have some time, we might come into some more things about the revival. This was the revival in the Hebrides. Okay. The Hebrides revival began with two sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith. And this was, I think, in the early 1900s that this revival happened. So this was not in the time of Jesus. Peggy and Christine Smith. One was 84 years old. So if you want to picture it, picture Grandma Ned. Picture Grandma Ned or Grandma Bejide. Just picture them. One was 84 years old and blind. The other, 82 years old and crippled with arthritis. One was what? Blind. The other was crippled. Okay? So we know that everything wasn't right with their bodies. Right? Okay. And the one saying, God, you didn't do rights by me, or you didn't heal me, you didn't do this. Let's go on. Crippled and with arthritis. They were greatly burdened because they'd been told no young person attended public worship at their church. We thank God, these young people, Fumito, Mayo, Timi, where are the other young people? Dotun. Come on, you're not young. which other young people are here? Familiar here. We thank God. We're already seeing them taking over some of the things that we had been doing. But within this person's church, they said, none. And I've been to some churches like that where the only people you find in the church are old people like me, like Brother Wale. I look at all the whites here now. You know, like Brother Aliu. You can imagine all of us. Sister Kemi is still young. Yeah, okay. So how about Otu? Should we add her to our own? Said, no young people. That means only old people. This lady was 84. Her sister was 82. So the kind of congregation they will have had will be congregation of grandmas, grandpas, maybe some daddies and mommies, but no children, no youth. These people have been burdened that no youth was worshiping at their church. They decided to pray twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. They got on their knees at 10 in the evening and remained there till 3 or 4 in the morning. 2 old women in a very humble cottage. They were praying twice a week from 10 p.m. to 3 or 4 a.m. One was blind. The other was crippled. Let's remember that. And they were old. Then Peggy had a vision of the church, this church that they said there were no old people, though, crowded with young people. They persuaded their minister to call a session. What they mean by a session is prayer meeting, to call a prayer meeting. Seven men covenanted not to give rest nor peace to the Almighty God until he made their Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Those men also began to meet on Tuesday and Friday nights for some months. Then one night in November, a young man began to pray, God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? But he got no further. He fell into a trance and lay on the floor of the barn. Within a matter of minutes, 3 other elders also fell into a trance. The minister and other intercessors were gripped by the conviction that a God-sent revival must always be related to holiness and godliness. Are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? An awareness of God gripped the whole community. Little work was done as men and women gave themselves to thinking about eternal things, and God seemed to be everywhere. In the little cottage, the 2 sisters knew God had kept his promise and told their minister to invite a missioner or a missionary to come and help them. I'll stop there. But the end of these prayers was that all the policemen in town, they became singers in church because there was no crime to fight any longer. All the bars within the town closed down. Bars were being converted into places of prayer. All the young people who used to go to parties, and they began to flock into the church. Maybe next week I'll read some more details of what revival really meant. It took only 2 women who had a burden within their heart. They had a hunger. How many things did they hunger for? Just one thing. And that thing they hungered for was that God's glory will be shown again on the earth within their church. That's where they started from. Women, they began, and you see, hunger motivates. When you are hungry, you will do whatever it is to eat. Their hunger motivated them, brothers and sisters. They crucify sleep from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. twice a week. Many times we will see trickles of God's blessings until we get to the place where we are hungry for the showers of God's blessings, and we will do whatever it takes to get it. Blind Bartimaeus, he did whatever it took him. He did whatever was within his power. He could not see, but he could shout. And he shouted until Christ had him. And Christ had to stop and say, call him. What are you hungry for? What do you desire of God? That you will do whatever within your power, whatever it takes, that I may lay hold of it. Hannah wanted only one thing. Hannah wanted only one thing, and that she sought God for. Coming year after year to pray at the temple until she received it. What is the burden of our hearts? We will see trickles of blessings. Yes, God is gracious. He will bless us. But there are blessings beyond us having a car, a house, food on our table, a good education. There are, God has in store, brothers, more than that. Don't let us stop at that. There are secrets, secrets of God that he wants us to press into, to seek beyond just the blessing which everybody else has. When we come, do we ever ask, after we've said, Lord, give me, Lord, what do you want? May that be our prayer. Let us pray. Let us take some time just as we are learning to more than say prayer, to hunger and thirst. My prayer today is that we would all pray that, God, make me hungry for you. You have blessed me with, and you are willing to bless me with all the material things I could ever ask for. But I want more than that, Lord. I want more than that. You gave land to the children of Israel, but you gave yourself as a portion to the Levites. This is the kind of portion and blessing I want. More than land, more than houses, more than wealth. All those things, they will come, they will feed. Matter how big a house I have, there will come a time when I'll not be able to climb the stairs. Matter how big a car I have, there'll come a time when it needs repairs and nobody wants to even use it. But there are things that last beyond this world. Lord, open my eyes to those things. Open my heart to yearning for those things, for your glory, for the cleansing of your church, that the bride that will be presented to you, Lord, at the very end, the bride of which we are going to be a part of, will be pure, holy, clean, unspotted from the world. Make me pray for these things. In his word we learn, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. And he said, all these things that the Gentiles seek after, your Father knows that you have need on them, and he will give them unto you. Me, I want more. I want more. More than material things in life. God blesses. My brothers and sisters, we can all attest to it. God blesses. He blesses us with many things. But do we press further? Do we receive our fish and bread and we go? Or do we receive our fish and bread and stay with him, to commune with him, to making him know that you desire more? Like blind Bartimaeus. He received his sight and began to walk with Jesus down the road. Jesus said, go your way. And he did not go his way. He went the way of Jesus. Let us pray that the Lord will put, just as the physical body is hungry for physical food, that our spirits, our souls will be hungry for God. Let us pray that God would make us hungry for him. That we will not be satisfied with the ordinary. Like these two women, they had church, but it was that they did not see youth in their church any longer. And that was the burden that would make them go without sleep from 10 p.m. to 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. Are we willing to lay hold on God this way? The Bible tells us that Isaac that Jacob, he wrestled with God from night until daybreak. And he said, God, bless me. That was the only thing he asked for. God, bless me. And he received it. What are we hungry for? What are we hungry for? That when the Lord says, what do you want? We'll be able to articulate it without even thinking twice about it. But knowing that whatever we ask of him, it cannot be something to consume upon our lusts. It cannot be something tainted by self and flesh. Brothers and sisters, as a church, we have to go beyond the material. We have to go beyond what the Gentiles seek after. Father, thank you for your word today. As a church and as your people seeking you for deeper things of you, bless us. Lord, we desire a hunger for the things of the Spirit. And there's you said it in your word, Lord, and we hold you by your word. That when we seek you and when we are hungry for you, we will be filled. That is what you said. And I pray this morning, O Lord, that you give a depth of hunger within our souls for the things that concern you, O God, beyond the material things, which, Lord, you do bless us with those things, we know. But beyond that, we desire more. We desire more. More than the hands of men could make. There are, Lord, plenty of people who are not born again. There are territories to be taken. There are lives to be prayed into the kingdom. There are lands to be taken in prayer. Lord, many who have gone before us, they have apprehended the same. We are no different. They're no different from us, O Lord. Whatever it'll take, Lord, show us. Give us the grace and strength that when we go on our knees before prayer, you can begin to open our eyes to seeing these things, O Lord. Father, this is our prayer. Make our hearts one. That we desire you and nothing else. This we ask, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.